Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. That's FITBOD.ME/Zabe. Today's Power Lunch is brought to you by The Palm at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Sure, The Palm is great for a fancy night out, but it's also the perfect midweek spot for a lunch with a client, or lunch to catch up with a friend, or maybe even to do an interesting podcast like this. Power Lunch menu selections at The Palm start at $26 for an appetizer, meal, and dessert. Book your reservation today directly at thepalm.com, open table, or by calling them at 703-917-0200.
I can make most anything on the menu except
whatever you got is fine.
I'm going to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch.
Hey, you got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome.
What can I say except you're welcome?
You do a podcast with a TV person, Jay, and it's like they want to be a floor director or something, you know? And come on now. Carol, great to see you, dear. How are you?
Great.
And look at Jay Cottrell in the house. Notorious. J-A-Y. This is a podcast scorigami. Do you guys know what a scorigami is?
That's a good.
It's like a triple threat.
Get your mic down a little bit further.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. There you go. You're good. Do you know what a scorigami is? I can't believe you guys didn't know what a scorigami is.
Never
heard. Triple threat?
No. Scorigami is when in the NFL there's a unique score that's never happened before. And there's a website that keeps track of it all. So in other words, if a game ends up like 47-11, they check to see, has there ever been a 47-11? So it's a huge grid
basically going up to 100 on each, you know, axis, and then they just put a little thing in there. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Do you get to go in yourself and look at the board?
Yeah, or, you go to scoregami.com or scoregami.net. It's so dumb. It's like, oh, that game was a scoregami. There's never been this score before, right? Who cares?
We all have a need for new. That's the thing.
I guess so. So this is a scoregami. Never had both of you on at the same time, have I?
No. Yeah,
there you go. High five.
But we did. We were partners to the desk. We shared a desk, remember?
At Comcast.
980.
Yeah. Oh, 980. Yes, of course.
Yes, the Feldman and Maloney show.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, I actually liked that show.
Well, yeah.
Thank
could,
you. You and I actually
too bad you weren't the PD. Might have survived.
Well, in my defense and Feldy's, we did get cut for Dan Dan Patrick of ESPN.
Oh, that's
you're gonna get cut
right
for somebody.
Dan Patrick's
it's
brother.
Gonna be Dan Patrick's brother was our boss.
Who
that's
we found out
I,
later.
Oh, Dave.
Not
Pugh.
The best guy.
Oh, Dave. Dan Patrick's brother is just one of the more odd persons in the industry I've ever met.
He was actually I actually liked him, his brother. And Dan Patrick, by the way, was the nicest guy ever.
Sure.
But his brother was he just came in to kill everybody.
Came in to fire people. And yeah. He had bounced from market to market to market. He was a great backslap guy. Hey, how's it going?
It
everything, you
I
know?
Said, I mean, I didn't dislike him. He was actually a nice guy.
I mean, yeah, because he didn't fire you.
Bless
until
his-
late. Well, until someone did later, but.
You're right, exactly.
Since everyone's talking about Iowa, I'll just tell you what we say in Iowa. Bless his heart.
Bless
his heart. Bless his
Carol,
heart.
Nobody bless was talking heart. About Iowa. You had to jump the gun. We're going to get to Caitlin.
wait.
All right.
Isn't that why I'm here?
But can I yell about you in about for about 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Jay has a prepared statement.
And I just
first,
saw it today.
But first, we are at the Palm and Tyson's Corner for our power lunch. Yes, it's nice here at the Palm. It may be fancy, quote unquote, but it's not snooty and it's not extravagant. It's not that much more than a place where you get food that's not nearly as good quality. So it's a great place to catch up with friends, catch up with the family. Okay. Thank you to Eric Larson and Jared Charlery for having us. And Carol for setting this up because Carol was coming here so often. She was like, we should do a podcast here.
Yep.
Like she was a regular
here. So this is her.
Her setup, yes.
I called Eric. I said, Eric, we want you to sponsor this podcast every Wednesday.
No cash, just food.
She's had so many meals
right.
here.
That's right.
She set it up.
Right, exactly. Okay, the floor is yours.
Well, no, Jay. I was – Buck and I were walking, doing our daily walk.
Buck, like, your dog,
my
not
dog.
Steve Buckhams.
That's right, Buck. Yeah. And I couldn't find anything to listen to, and I saw you did one from like 3 or 4 days ago.
Oh, boy.
Because I haven't seen this one.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to Zabe's podcast, and Carol, what he basically did was apologize to his listeners.
What? His,
yeah, okay. So I'm listening, and I'm getting more angry because we need to have a new name about your listeners. They call themselves the 1%.
Yeah.
But 99 of his listeners are assholes.
99%, you're saying?
Yes, 99% of them are
no.
complete. Yes, they are.
No,
complete,
1%.
I'm listening. I'm talking to Carol, not you.
Okay, but I'm also defending the guy because you say that his listeners are going to be like, what the?
Here's why. Because they
he's got to defend them.
They all want to do is bitch and moan. There are guys who just listen to him when he has a mistake. They literally, that's all they
pounce.
They have miserable people's lives.
Aren't you all so glad that we didn't grow up with the internet?
Like, yeah, thank you.
Jumping on everyone's mistake.
But that's all they do is listen for a mistake. There was one guy, he started his email, hey, dipshit. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
how we started
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That is 99%. Of his listeners.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I don't think that's accurate, Jay.
Don't apologize.
Hi.
Treat them like the parents of the 70s and 80s. For dinner, you didn't get a choice. No. You ate what you wanted. So that's what you do. Start doing that. They will bitch about me. They'll bitch about Ron
yeah.
Thomas.
They'll
bitch
yeah.
about Andy. They'll bitch about
every guest has their haters.
Because they have.
You have your haters. You have your haters.
But here's my point.
Is it because of the weed?
No. Carol's face was like this instant hurt and bewilderment. I have haters? Yes. You have a hater and her name is Carol, believe it or not.
Oh,
another Carol.
Oh,
wait,
she hates him
and
me?
Is she a Nats fan?
Yes.
Is she a Nats
there
fan?
There was this one bitch. She lives every month to email him about how much she hates me. That's her. And
but
by the way,
she hates
I couldn't remember her name because that's how much
Carol.
I care about
her. Is
she
a Nats fan? Because one time I called Bryce Harper a baby on the air.
And?
And oh my God.
On what air?
NBC.
NBC. Well, that's the thing. That's television. You know? Television heat hits harder.
Wait. Stop apologizing.
Time out.
You know what? If you were
like to be wrong.
If you were a baseball player, you'd be hitting 415 on your show, which
Thank
is good.
You, Jay. Thank
stop
you.
Stop. I'm serious.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
No, if you keep apologizing, I'm going to yell at you. Okay. Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
Fuck them.
If they have a problem with your show, here's my. Right. That's all good.
Here's the skip button. It's exactly. A triangle with a line on the right. Press it and fuck yourself. Go drive into a tree. How about that? But I think your percentage is off. I think it's the 1% who are virulent assholes.
No.
99% are wonderful.
They have nothing good to say, nothing constructive. 99% of them. They just call to bitch and moan and just cry about everything.
And now the show really starts.
Now
hello,
it starts.
Everyone,
that's
and welcome
it.
To Hello, the Steve Zaven Show.
I'm done.
And by the way, Carol, don't be fazed that you have haters. Because as Thomas Rhett once sang, how could anybody blame her? I know she's got haters, but it ain't her fault. Look what God gave her.
That's right.
One of the great hook lines in country music to this day. So, Carol Maloney is here. Pride of Iowa. Pride of what city in Iowa?
Des Moines. I went to Dowling.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
That means same high school as Caitlin Clark.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, look at you guys. Is that cool?
That's really
cool. That's so cool. Even better, her mother is a friend of mine. Her aunt was my best friend growing up. And so I got to go to the game. I got to go to the championship.
To the championship game.
Yeah, it was really crazy. I'll keep it really short.
On the Clark dime.
On Friday, we were talking on the phone, and she's caravanning to Cleveland. My best friend, Jenny Nizzy, and then her husband, kids, and then a couple of friends of ours.
All the
Nizzy girls. Caitlin's mom's Aunt Nizzy.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like, you should come because it's a 5.5-hour drive from D.C. I was like, I'm totally there. I'm coming tomorrow. She's like, got to win first. I might have a ticket for you. And might have a ticket to me means I'm coming. So as soon as they won, I ended up buying nosebleeds just in case because I didn't want to get there and not have a ticket.
Were the nosebleeds?
So when I looked before they secured their bid to the national championship, the nosebleeds were like $300 each.
Damn.
When I bought them after they beat UConn, $600 each. Every
Caitlin Clark
the cheapest
effect.
Ticket I could find was $600. So I got nosebleed, but then I got there. I got there on Sunday because of EV issues. Do not get me started about traveling with an electric vehicle long distance through Pennsylvania. Okay? Oh, my
you can't
God.
Find it. You can't
Days
find one.
Of looking for a charger. And then you get like a trickle. And then you're outside a hotel that has no rooms and you're just waiting for hours. Okay. So.
ditch that EV.
God, I'll never take a road trip with that thing again. So then I get there on Sunday. And it's pregame. We're at the team hotel. I'm with the whole family, Caitlin Clark's family, all her mom, dad, her sisters, Caitlin Clark's brothers. We get in the big family huddle in the lobby, and we're doing like what the team
doing
does.
Doing the sway?
We're doing the huddle sway. We're, we get to line up as they walk out. She comes over, gives her mom a hug, all this great stuff. I am just absolutely floored by how it's so normal. They're the nicest people. They haven't changed at all. Like, this is just...
They're from Iowa.
I talked to her
like
dad.
Like you. You Iowans are the nicest people on earth.
Oh, my
You're
God.
A Drake alum,
they're exactly like I remember them, and
You're
I haven't seen... My best friend I see all the time. We do girls' trips all the time.
Nice.
The sister. But all the other sisters I haven't seen in so long, and they're just... delightful, like it doesn't. The only thing different is that we had to flank the parents because as we walked to the, arena, Rocket Mortgage, they were getting, not harassed, but in a good way, want pictures, want autographs because they're in that State Farm commercial. So all of a sudden, these are like Dowling.
Is that her mom that does the heart hands in the State Farm commercial?
The dark hair. I don't know if I know that
In the stands, I think so.
Yeah, she does that all the time.
Okay, have you seen the State Farm commercial for Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
It is a work of art. It is beautiful. It's
Wait a minute, which one? Because she's got about two.
Well, this is the one where it just kind of goes quick fire through her being, you know, fierce and hitting threes and then goofing around with the team. And then there's the hard hands and then hers waving to the crowd. I mean, it's beautifully done. It's perfect.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so... one of my friends that was caravanning to Dan Broeker ended up having courtside seats extra because he tried to sell them and he couldn't.
Courtside. You were courtside.
I was
for
courtside,
that game.
And I'll tell you another
courtside,
little.
Courtside feet on the wood or
courtside
a row
feet
back?
On the wood.
Fuck.
Table right down from Rebecca Lobo. Are you kidding me?
Feet on the wood.
For
the for the girl from Des Moines.
And my former
she
coach,
has to get.
I played for Bluter for Drake. So
she
I was
played
like,
played for Bluter.
I was in the game. I was literally like, they can't rebound. Why are they not rebounding? I took one look at warm-ups and I thought, oh, F.
You're like, this, where did Dawn Staley get all these tall girls?
Which, by the way, I want to talk about when we're, yes.
11 players, 11 deep. I mean, you could tell in warm-ups how ridiculously athletic. I was just hoping everybody was cold from the floor, but nobody was.
Yeah.
And then the other issue that I found out ahead of time was that, you know, her ankle was a much bigger deal than anyone
Who's
talked
ankle?
About. Caitlin's. She twisted it.
Here we go,
I'm
Jay,
just saying,
with the excuses.
Nobody ever said
first
anything.
First I'm hearing of this.
That's not true. She twisted it on Friday night. And then in the
LSU game.
Well, maybe I'm not paying close enough attention.
I didn't know that either.
And UConn. In UConn. And then in the
she had 18 in the first quarter. The ankle
saying,
was fine.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Did you cry? Raven Johnson.
Did you cry
Raven
afterwards?
Raven Johnson is the movie, I think. Raven Johnson's the movie script.
Why?
The way she defended, the way she – you know, Raven Johnson was the number 25 that was
Which,
on her.
By the way,
she was the
I
one that was
I did not
dissed.
Know her name until this year.
Okay.
Raven
Johnson's a guard for South Carolina. Yeah. And last year in the tournament when the two played each other, Caitlin Clark was listening to the scouting report, and when Raven Johnson was about to shoot a three at the three-point line, Caitlin Clark just like waves her off like, I'm not going to even defend you. Go ahead, shoot it.
Oh.
And it was viral. And everybody dissed on Raven Johnson, and she almost quit. She almost quit the sport.
Really?
Yeah, so it was a whole big pregame story. And then she ended up defending her with a vendetta and revenge.
She was in his
shirt. Four steals, and she stopped her in that second half. She was really – well, they had so many fouls to give because they had so many players that they trusted.
So did you cry after the game, being an Iowa girl?
No, I was just so incredibly proud to be there and to have women – on the center stage of the entire sports world.
That's great loser mentality.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought you were a big fan. I mean, come on. How could you not cry after that?
Nobody was sad. We were really, like, we were frustrated. We were bummed.
You're never making it back. You know that. Iowa's not on the level these other
programs.
I'm not going
to say that, but they have some rebuilding to do. That's true.
They just got to find the next Caitlin
Clark.
They will.
Jay,
there's one of the cornfields, I'm sure. She is a singular sensation. Oh, no. She is a phenomenon.
She's an incredible player. I played against this woman named Melody Howard who could hit from the logo, who was three-dimensional like Caitlin Clark.
Why didn't I hear about her?
Exactly.
Because she wasn't as cute as a button.
She was cute.
Caitlin Clark
she
is.
Was cute as
Caitlin
a button.
Clark is attractive, but Iowa
but she's
plain
Iowa,
she's, attractive.
She just tells
not
you the
like
progress.
The
tells
other
you the progress.
Basketball players before have come. They don't have a look, and I don't want to say – what I really want to say.
I'll say it. Gabby Marshall's the hottest one on the team. On Iowa.
Yes.
It's almost pervy.
But
they're so young.
She's not good.
It is pervy. They're like my daughters.
She didn't play like Carl.
But I can objectively say which ones are meet the physical attractiveness.
Really,
it's got to go
really
here.
Good, the really good female basketball player.
Should we rate their hottest? Is that what we're
– No. No, but I'm a guy.
Okay, Melody Howard was before the internet, and that's why. We didn't even have WNBA at that time.
Okay.
This is how far the game has come.
Yeah. No, it was hell week.
I mean,
beat the men in ratings. How about
the other
that?
Players had an edge to them.
For who?
Female players who were really good. They had an edge.
Well, our girl Diana Taurasi, and you and I talked
who
about
I said
her back
is
the
greatest
in the day.
Player I've ever seen.
Yes. I
and, well, she was and Miller, Cheryl Miller. Those two are the best players I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Cheryl Miller was a complete bitch. Just she loved to rub it in people's faces, like her brother, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They lived to just say, yeah, how you like them apples, huh? How about some more of this?
But they weren't apple pie like Caitlin Clark was.
No. See, like part of the Caitlin Clark phenomenon and why she draws double the ratings of everyone else, and the rest of the ratings, half of 18 is still amazing. The 9 for the other semifinal, whatever they're going to get, it's an amazing number. You know, the final averaged millions of viewers 2 years ago before Caitlin Clark?
8.
3.4.
Holy crap.
They went from 3.4 to 18.
18.9.
18.7.
9.
Just like a woman. They want every little
bit,
Jay.
It's 9.
Don't be shorting me that extra 0.7, she says.
Was it 9?
Well, I mean,
what'd you get, the latest Nielsen's from like the streaming numbers?
What did Rudy Marsky, did he call you up and give you?
Goes to Rudy Marsky. Hold on a second. We're getting a few more in.
It was 4 million more than the men.
Beat Booyah. The shit out of the men.
Booyah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. One of those reasons, a 9:30 start for the UConn game.
Yeah, that's right.
What are they thinking about?
They're whores.
That's the worst thing ever. 9:30.
Okay, then why were the women at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? I was like, why is this not a prime time?
That's a great time because there's kind of nothing else on. And it was on network TV. It was on CBS. I think that still matters. That still makes a difference. But look, it's not anything about, you know, the women's game had more eyeballs, more compelling, the more sellable story to average middle America. Caitlin Clark is a phenomenon unto herself. You say about this other gal that could shoot from there, whatever, maybe. There's not been a player in the women's game that shoots like her since her. Hasn't been one. There's been approximations, Jay.
I'm good.
There have been better all-around players. Paige Beckers is probably a better all-around player. Juju.
Have you seen Juju Watkins play?
I haven't seen her, but I've heard a ton about her.
My God, she's good.
We got how many years with her?
Three more. Oh, yeah, three more. But, I mean, her first – that girl, I had to watch, like, three games this year. I was like, this girl is special.
Right.
So and next year will be
– So the question is, does it continue?
No.
Does this not like women's this. Basketball like become a darling of the sports world continue?
No.
I think it's climbed up to a new shelf level on the marketplace of sports. I think ESPN's got a hell of a product for a very cheap rights fee now in women's basketball because they're getting a big enough rating. And there will be other stars. They won't be quite as telegenic as Caitlin Clark. It won't be wrapped in the middle America story of Iowa girl who shoots from the cornfield.
Yeah.
But there'll be stars that come along, and it'll be a good product for them. But
I actually think in her life, as sad as we are today, the obstacle's the way is always my motto. And I think this is probably better for her, this burn at the end of her college career, for her professional career. I just use that burn so much for fire.
Really?
For professional career. I'm excited to see what happens. She's going to have to bulk up, though.
Really?
Yeah, she's going to have to get a lot stronger.
Okay.
She was getting pushed around by that defense.
That was,
oh, my God. They weren't calling anything.
But they were running three different girls at her, though, too.
Yeah.
That was another thing.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have a sub, so this is why she got tired in the second half. We could go on. Yeah. I'll let you. We can move on. Okay, right. But I'm just fired up.
So how was your game in college?
It was a weak sister type of game. No, I loved
what size did you play at? What were your height?
I was a point guard. I was listed at 5'5". What do you think I am? 5'2 and a half, probably. I was the shortest person in the Missouri Valley Conference. I'd launched some threes when I got in there. I hit.
Like Mulkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
Did you read the post story on Mulkey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like
why she's so angry about it.
I kind of like her. She's old school. She's the female Bobby Knight. She gives zero fucks and runs her players hard, but demands a lot from them.
She's threatening lawsuits,
don't mind her.
So she gives a fuck.
Well, she's feisty.
Yeah.
That was a preemptive strike.
Yeah.
Like, don't get crazy.
Yeah, I mean.
Because people were getting crazy about her, you know?
Yeah.
And the whole Brittany Griner thing is not going to go away. People did not like that she did not cape up more for Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
Do you remember watching her, though, against Cheryl Miller? I do. I remember Louisiana Tech USC game.
Right.
I remember that game.
Yeah.
That was like the biggest deal.
That makes me so happy. You have college
I'm a basketball junkie.
Women's basketball memories.
I coached AAU women's for like 2 years. They were the best.
Yeah,
players ever because they listened.
Right,
they didn't bitch like men do, and they whatever I said, they did.
Yeah, 2 years before the scandal.
That's right.
And then it all ended. We're not going to talk about that. So, can we talk about all the UConn players being catty little bitches and having to walk everything?
You
back?
Think they were?
There's already a T-shirt by Sunday in Iowa. It was pretty popular. It says it was a moving screen.
Oh, God. No, there's a lot of UConn players, like Brianna Stewart, when asked, does she need a championship to be a great player?
Well, she won.
And she goes, yep,
can
in a very condescending way.
Well, the chicks from UConn, they kind of pissed me off because.
Thank you.
That was when women's basketball, if there were 15 great players, 8 of those went to UConn, 7 went to Tennessee.
And that's a wrap.
So, that's why I don't listen to Gino talk about him being a great coach.
Right.
Because you had the best players anybody's ever had. So
I know.
You don't impress me.
That's
He's
part
never
of a coach's
me.
Job is recruiting.
That is very true.
Yeah, but
that
the landscape was a steep mountain. It was not flatter as it is today where the talent's more spread out. So there's more programs that can compete in women's basketball now.
What is the woman who went to Delaware, was supposed to go to UConn? She played for Washington. What is her name? Very, very blonde-haired girl. Plays for the Washington
Mystics?
Yes. What's
Elena
her?
Yes. Deladon?
She is. I still love her because she gave Gino the finger and said, I don't want to come here. And she said, I'm going to go to Delaware and be with my sister.
Yeah.
I think she has Down syndrome or something. And
yeah. Right.
She didn't, and Gino actually gave her shit about that.
he's a prick, right?
He is an asshole. Yeah. He's an asshole.
He's an asshole. Yeah, is Dan Hurley an asshole?
No, I like him. I like him.
I'm okay with Dan Hurley. I don't know why.
I like him.
I like Dan Hurley a lot more than Calhoun.
His dad is a hard dude when he played.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Who's Calhoun.
Patino. Who was the worst?
Patino is the slimiest.
I don't like Patino. He thinks he invented basketball.
He's a slimy bag of shit. I mean, anyone who banged a booster in the back booth of an Italian restaurant.
Allegedly.
No.
No, he did it. I'm being funny.
And then, you know this, right, Carol?
No.
I don't know this?
Pay attention to these kind of stories.
Well, let me fill you in.
Oh, no.
Scandal at Louisville. Before the prostitute scandal, he ended up impregnating a booster woman. This woman, Cyphers, I believe her name was. She was a big booster. Well, yeah, it's stuck in my brain. He got her pregnant in a back booth of an Italian restaurant.
Italian restaurant, yes.
Oh.
And then the Catholic Rick Pitino paid for her abortion. Mr. Catholic, Mr. All-White Suit. Because it was out in public. And we talked about it, but the mainstream media likes to suppress it.
None of my damn business. Sometimes a story. None of my damn business. I just pass. But anyway.
Anyway.
Bless his heart.
No, not him.
Okay.
Don't bless his heart.
That's what my grandmother said a lot, by
Can I get a quarter, speaking of slimy coaches, on Coach Calipari, Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, he and Pitino, they came from the same cloth.
And total underachiever.
But you know what?
And the coaching fraternity is caping up for him. Like Seth Greenberg on ESPN did not want to say that he underachieved.
Well, he did.
He totally did. Look at the NBA guys he's put in the league, and he has one title to show for it. And a couple of final fours.
Okay, how many of those
And
NBA
a lot of
guys,
first-round exits.
Exactly. One and dones, right? That's the
But
problem.
He embraced it. He said, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
This was going to be his model.
You see him at the NBA draft every year with 19 guys and – didn't win anything that year.
When you say my goal is to get young men into the NBA in the first round, guess what it absolves you of? Having to win. So he chose a way that was going to be able to excuse what he does. He's not a good coach. In-game X's and O's, Jay. Anyone who watches basketball knows.
Dan Hurley, they probably have one guy who's going to be in the league.
I mean Dan Hurley. Yeah, not Ed.
No, I said Dan Hurley.
He's a Dan.
You said Ed.
No, I said Dan.
Rewind.
I said Dan Hurley.
He said Dan.
I might have to go for a neuro checkup if you really. I'm staring at you. I swear I heard Ed.
You can Dan
Hurley. Hey, 1% of you assholes listening, did Jay say Ed or did
they're going to listen? They're going to listen and email you back. So whatever. But anyway, but Dan Hurley has one guy who's probably an NBA player. One. By the way, can I? They have a.
No, I don't know.
The center is pretty good. He's going to
Klingon.
Yeah, he's. Pretty good. I think he'll be a pro.
I think got three guys
but
at
they
least.
Do. And again, for me to
four.
Say how much I hate Mark Turgeon, Cam Spencer went to Boys Latin, which is one of the school we played. Why is he there instead of at a Maryland school?
Well, he was at Rutgers.
Sucks.
He was at Rutgers.
Don't
and
say that around me.
He sucks.
No,
He quit. Oh, I know he's from. I know he's from Iowa or whatever.
No, he's not. He's from Kansas.
He sucks. He's a terrible coach. No. He quit on his team.
No,
he sucks.
You don't know what went behind the scenes.
I don't get there.
You
Do you think
That's
Gary
would have
quitted? Would have quitted? Would have quit
what
on
if
a
it's,
team?
What
he
if,
quit on
what
a
if
team.
What if it's a lot like Calipari, where it was, you're going to get fired, or you can just go on your own.
We can do another. We can do our own podcast.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll get Mark on.
So yeah, so Spencer was at. I'm sorry.
He went to Loyola first.
Right, but he was at Rutgers, and then UConn offered him a bag in the NIL portal, and so he went over to UConn. Yeah, but I mean, he was.
I know. On the MIA first team in Baltimore.
He'll be a pro because he can shoot.
He can shoot the
hell
out of it.
Sort of like the white kid from Maryland who found the redhead. The ginger.
Oh, the red.
The dumb ginger who got a second contract is making big bank in the NBA.
And now he's hurt.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'll think of his name in a second.
I know.
But yeah, so Spencer will play in the pros. I think Castle and Newton are pros. They're young. They're first-year guys.
I do think that.
And Klingon's a pro. I don't know. Caravan might make it as a small.
Can we, you know, the elephant in the room? Can you talk about Zach Edney?
Oh, God. Yeah, he's just terrible to watch.
He cannot catch.
No, salad tongs.
Yeah.
He makes Jahidi White look sure-handed by comparison.
I mean,
there was a stretch in the game where that was the game, right?
Yeah.
There, the 2 minutes where he just...
He missed shot after shot. He couldn't catch.
Okay, I think we're ready. Thank you, Dennis, for coming in. You ready to order, Carol?
Are you ordering on the microphone?
Yeah, on the microphones right now. And definitely you order as well. Make sure your lovely bride there gets a menu.
Okay, I'll take one of everything.
No, this is not the Masters menu. Do you know that you can order the whole menu at the Masters, meaning every item they serve, for $66?
Give me some pimento cheese sandwiches.
I did go to the Masters 1 year.
Get out.
You don't need to make money at food
at
the
Masters.
Masters.
Not having to work. Why the American dream is alive and well.
Married into the family, and he knows everybody. And it was... I just went there and was like, wait a minute, a sandwich is $2?
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's move into other issues. Did you see, by the way, your boy T-Sizzle got arrested for assault today? Terrell Suggs? Yeah.
I am shocked.
Yeah, that's your boy.
The guy who threw bleach on his girlfriend once in
Baltimore. Domestic assault.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Arrested in Arizona for assault, T-Sizzle.
For what?
Let's see here. I'm going to the TMZ article right now.
I'm shocked by this.
Played at Arizona State, by the way. Further details surrounding the allegations were not made immediately available. But, yeah, not good. Just want to let you know about that.
Well.
Okay, I ran us into a
thoughts and prayers.
All right. Did you guys watch the finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes.
Not yet. Go ahead, ruin it for me.
What did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
They, you know, I saw the clip of the producer saying, and that's a wrap for the funniest show ever.
No, not.
But you expect they would say that on the final
I loved it, but
it,
you know. But.
Okay, so where does it belong in the pantheon of shows?
Seinfeld for me was right up there.
Seinfeld, greater sign. This was like the real-life pseudo-extension of
exactly.
Seinfeld.
I loved
out
it.
Of the controlled sitcom environment of the 90s. They don't make sitcoms anymore except for How I Met Your Mother, which
is
I don't watch.
Is it funnier
but
than Seinfeld?
Seinfeld really was a totally different genre in the fact that they changed the game in the way they had. There wasn't just like, you know, shtick that was. They had.
It was a show about nothing. But if you watch the first season of Seinfeld, it's awful.
Yeah.
They had
but it took
better.
A year to get in stride.
Yeah. But every show who's great, they get their... You know,
and right, some shows start feeding. Slow and find their stride. Other shows fall apart at the end, like The Office, one of my favorites.
God, that was...
the last year and a half was just, please stop filming
the
show.
The British
please
chick,
stop. Yeah,
that
might have
been like one of the worst ever.
The British chick, Robert California line. I didn't like what they made Nard Dog's character into. As this, you know, cocky asshole boss of the office. I'm like, this is not believable. He was an insecure, paranoid, silver spoon temper guy from Cornell who didn't really go to Cornell. And suddenly he's going to be, all right, you run the office. I'm going off on a boat. I didn't buy it. But I still watch it whenever it's on, even the later episodes, to go, God, they got sloppy.
You know, I know it's coming, and I go, ugh. But I still watch it.
I know. I can't help but not do it. So Curb to me
Schitt's
is great.
Schitt's Creek's got to be up there, right?
A show in the pantheon and people. Veep. Veep
really?
Is one Veep's of the fun. It's in the top five of one of the funniest shows I've ever
that's
seen.
That's a pantheon show that has cultural relevance.
It's so funny.
It's funny.
And the profanity
have
is so lovely well done.
Okay.
They curse and it's like, that was great. I know. You're shaking your head now.
No, I mean, it. I just don't think it had the kind of impact on our society that the other shows did.
Julie Dreyfus.
She was amazing. And I find myself doing that to people around me. Like, I'm the vice president going, what should I know about this?
Yeah.
What should I know about this? And then I take what they say.
What I loved about Curb was it was just, I mean, it was kind of cringe comedy like The Office where you're like, oh, boy, you know, he puts you on edge kind of thing. But it was aggressive cringe. Because Larry, you know, the writers would make these aggressive sort of what would happen in society if there was a misunderstanding or you said something that blew everything up. And it was great in that regard.
Yeah.
Funny actually, as hell. And J.B. Smoove.
I didn't like him for years. And then I came on later. I didn't think he was funny. But now J.B. Smoove makes me laugh all the time. I think it's the way he speaks.
Yes, he has a funny way of talking. And the one episode where kind of early on in his character, when he was telling Larry about some conflict, he's like, you got to go put a boot in that ass. You got to get up in that ass. Just twist that thing. Say, I'm here, man.
Fuck that shit.
You got to bust a nut in that guy. And he's like, what? Larry was like, I can't do all that.
The one thing about Leon, though, was that everyone else was playing an exaggerated version of themselves, whereas Leon or J.B. Smoove, he was nothing like Leon in person.
Oh.
So it was a different character.
Have you met him in person?
No, I just followed the show enough to notice.
Because I have.
Have you really?
Yeah, I met him on the ramp leading up to the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Last time I went to the Super Bowl, it was the media / VIP entrance, and we're walking up as a long switchback, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's him. Even got a little digital asset.
Where I was like,
hey, I know, I'm the worst, aren't I?
No.
You know.
Did you get a selfie?
I got this little short video. It's like, JB, man, I love you. Love the show. It's great. And he's like, hey, man, what's up? He was totally cool.
Yeah.
Did we get more Cheryl Hines? I had such a crush on Cheryl Hines. I wanted her for every season.
What a gem. And where was she with her acting career? What did she do prior to that?
You ever see the movie Waitress with Kerry Russell?
Mm-hmm.
She's in that.
Kerry Russell.
Oh, she's great in that show. Cheryl Hines is great. I don't know why she's not a bigger thing.
I mean, everybody has their favorite Curb moment. Mine was when Jeff Green comes over to golf, and I think Cheryl had made plans to go shopping or something. And thank you. And then Larry David is, like, ready to go golfing and looks at his wife and then is like, I can't go. It was so funny. Just the looks, just the nonverbal communication between the wife. I thought it was so classic.
Yeah.
It was relatable to me at that time.
I'm trying to find the clip here about it. But Cheryl Hines during the rap said to Larry, he's like, I just want to thank you so much. Like, when I met you, you changed my life.
Yeah.
Because she gained a level of notoriety for her work on that show that, I mean, she was kind of obscure otherwise.
Yeah.
And Hollywood's full of, you know, good-looking women and good-looking men that are just trying to make it. They can do the acting thing if they want, but they got to get a break.
Yep.
Right, Carol?
It's all about a break. That's right.
How's Well and Wonder Studio before we break to eat here?
Yeah, it's doing well. We're in our 2.5 years in, and I think if I've been on, we were voted runner-up best studios for DC in our second
Well
year.
And Wonder Yoga and Wellness Studio in Bethesda, Maryland.
Tenleytown,
still
DC.
Giving out weed.
Tenleytown,
Northwest DC.
Yeah. Still not giving out weed.
We don't give it out.
It's available through the narrow laws of the District of Columbia.
Very, very gray. There's a wild, wild west. We have one class. Most people get stuff. We have federally legal CBD on our shelves, and most people will take that. It's just like, you know, every now and then somebody makes a little edible that I was like, it's delicious if you want to.
But also yoga. Yoga, which is good for the mind.
Friday night's chill.
I was hooked on the edibles.
Is the best. Were you really?
Really?
You got me hooked on the edibles.
Good for pain and for
going to sleep.
Yeah, sleeping.
Yeah, going to sleep. That's what I was looking for. One day I slept for like 12 hours.
Yeah. It's actually bad if you have some
anxiety. Sleep. It did that. Yeah,
it helps with anxiety, but if you have like issues with snoring or sleep apnea, or you know you find yourself in wrong positions, you don't really want to knock yourself out that much because you can wake up injured because you sleep wrong.
All right, if you're in the DC area, go to the Well and Wonder Studio. Carol Maloney is there. Good stuff to be had. Heal the mind, heal the body. Live a better life. Let's take a break. We'll eat. For those of you who subscribe to the Zabecast, who are not the 99% of virulent assholes that Jay claims you are.
I hope you edit that out.
Then guess what? You will not listen to any commercials. You'll roll right through the next segment. Thanks for listening. Subscribe at Zabe.com.
Time for a quick break to hear from our amazing podcast sponsors. But if you would like, you can subscribe to the Zabecast for a mere $5 a month. Has never been more, will never be more. If you subscribe, you get Fridays with OG Scott and Solly from the Fox Sports Radio days, and you get ad-free during the week. Hallelujah. Plus, you get the pods as soon as they drop, often the night or afternoon before. Just go to zabe.com/premium to sign up. And when you do, make sure to download exclusively from the subscriber feed so you get these pods ad-free. Thank you. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Carol let me eat half of her chicken parm, which was delicious.
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 You like to salt your food like me.
I like a little salt on my steak, and my wife is always like, it's got enough salt, it's got the Montreal, and I'm like, I like it for the granularness. I like the texture.
So I watched this Netflix special, which was like, you are what you eat, and they take these twins. One twin gets a vegetable or vegan diet. One twin does a very healthy meat diet.
Yep.
And the results are insane. We need to eat less meat, but when you do eat
meat.
Not
true.
I have to eat meat. When you do eat it, it should be very fine quality meat like here.
No.
You don't need meat with every meal.
Meat is healing. Meat is good for you. Meat is what our biology formed us in when we were meat eaters.
I'm not saying you go full vegan, Zabe. I'm just saying
carnivore is better than vegan.
Watch this show and
see
what you think.
Change my mind. Carnivore is better than vegan. Boom. Done. I'll argue that to death.
Who can't drink water?
I can watch this. See, this is water here.
You have said before, it rips me up inside.
Tears up my system. Yeah, that's my joke.
There you go.
Our bodies are 70% water. I pretend like water just tears me up. No, I can drink it, but, you know, trying to wean myself off the Diet Coke. Anyway, chicken parm was great.
It was so good.
Chicken
it
parm,
so
Jay?
Good.
Yep.
Yep,
and I
loved
had a little steak. It was great.
Wow.
So, thank you, Palm, for the power lunch. It was fantastic.
A great salad, by the way, also.
Yeah.
All right, so did you guys see the photo of the Masters dinner with the past champions in it and people just roasting guys left and right?
About what? I saw the
various
picture,
things like, hey, Jordan Spieth, purple does not go with green because he wore a purple tie.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, Fred Ridley, it's supposed to be for just past champions that are still alive, right? Fred Ridley, the chairman of Augusta National, is in the photo.
Yep.
And some people are like, hey, it's for champions only. Get out. Like, you're allowed to be at the dinner because you're the host, right? But how about you show some class, like, I don't belong in the photo.
Oh, no.
Of course, they let all the live guys in. They're not being petty about that.
So Fuzzy's still around.
Fuzzy's still in there. It's like, Fuzzy, no jokes tonight, okay? Just lay low, okay, Fuzzer? The only guy that was not in the photo that is a past champion who's still alive is Angel Cabrera.
Oh.
Because do you know what happened to him? Of course,
no.
Carol does not know this. She didn't know
about
it.
I'm on an information diet, tell me.
Angel just got out of a stint in jail in Argentina for sexual assault.
I've never heard about this.
Yeah, Angel Cabrera, El Pato, Masters champ, was in jail for a good several years for a pretty serious sexual assault, but got out, but couldn't make it back to the States because of visa issues. Otherwise, they were going to let him play, and I'm all for that. You know, he did something bad. He served his time in the country where he did it. You can't hold grudges forever. You don't have to celebrate him or hold a party in his honor. But if your policy is to have former champions come back, have the dinner, and play, I say you let Angel do the same.
Sexual assault, though? Nah, burn him at the stake.
Yeah, of course you'd say that.
Yeah. I know. I agree well on that one. Can't be there.
Well, you're with your girl here as well.
You just can't dismiss it because then it's like makes it
how about
not
manslaughter?
That big a deal. Burn him at the stake.
You might do 10 years for manslaughter.
Just can't be a pedophile. Nope.
Anything.
Actually, I'll draw the line at pedophiles.
He can do like white collar crimes. And he can do
embezzlement.
You draw the line on that, huh?
Yeah. Pedophile. Okay. Nope. Got to kill him.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the fact that, you know, today is the par three contest. It's a great tradition. These traditions of the Masters.
You see the little kid with the white thing walking around the big bag.
And the wives and the girlfriends, and they, you know, they're all looking fine. And the Augusta, warm weather. It's got a thunderstorm tomorrow, though. It's going to wipe out the first round. But, yeah, it's a great tradition. You know, get the old Cooters out there, Gary Player and Arnie and whatnot. They can at least hit the ball 100 yards in the air, which is the par three. They got the ceremonial first tee shot on Thursday morning. They got the green jacket ceremony. They got the crow's nest where the amateurs stay in the clubhouse. Do you know that, Carol? Above the clubhouse. There's a little apartment area. They sleep there, and then they walk down, and they get to play Augusta as the amateur champ and, like, the run-up amateur champ.
And then they get kicked out, or do they get to stay
there? Well, then they miss
the
cut, and then they get kicked out. But, you know, they used to allow the past champions, no matter how old, to come and compete and play. And it was getting out of hand because guys like Gabe Brewer were teeing it up at like 73 years old and shooting 94.
Slowly and everybody.
You know, you get to
play
that age.
Through me.
You get well, they would send them out first, right?
Yeah,
so they would hopefully get out of the way. And the Masters had to finally kind of quietly curtail that. They didn't change the rule. They just sent letters that basically said, "Wow, we'd love to have you, Mr. Brewer, back for our annual tournament. You'll be welcome to come to the dinner and maybe play a practice round. But competition apparently is not up to speed for you. The course does measure 7,550 yards, which is quite the test even for today's finest players."
Something else I was surprised about Augusta. Not the greatest neighborhood.
No.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little down south sketchy, you know.
There's
some Bojangles with bars on them, you know.
If you got a book, yeah. It's kind of a hood. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, but they're buying up all kinds of properties. So they announced today, Wednesday, that they're building an underground parking structure and a bunch of other underground amenities. Yes, they do
have
the
money.
And they're just buying up parcels. They tried to buy up a whole row of houses on a street outside Augusta, but a couple homeowners are like, hey, wait a minute. We got to hold out because we know they got the money, and they've been holding out and holding out and holding out. Well, at some point, I'd fucking sell.
There's a whole, for everyone in our country, there is a tax relief if you own a property, and there's 2 weeks you can rent it. And you don't have to pay taxes on the income from that rental because of the Masters.
Get out.
Yeah.
Did not.
That's absolutely
that.
True.
So would you like to rent my house? I'll tell my wife we're going somewhere for 2 weeks.
Those homeowners will rent it. So they made it a 2 week exception to tax,
right.
Rental tax.
Yeah. And I think they probably defend that vigorously down there because they know that's the lifeblood of Augusta.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You play golf. Carol, Jay, you love golf. You caddied for me at the
I did.
Kemper. That was fun as shit.
I did.
Remember who our pro was?
Nicholas Faust.
Faust.
Oh, you had Faust?
Yes, because
Nicholas Faust of Sweden, who was a Ryder Cupper.
I can remember what you said.
I said, how do you say shitty shot in Swedish?
No, that wasn't the fun. No. You asked him about women in Sweden.
Of course
Sweden.
He did.
Of course.
And he said,
are they all beautiful?
They're squidlins? He said a funny word. I was like, what? Also remember,
and what does
Gary,
that mean?
It's like we have a million of, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I said, are there?
I think he said squillions or something like
right.
that.
How many good-looking Swedish women are there actually in the country from what is portrayed on the media? And he said,
squillions.
Yes. Which means all the women.
Yes. Also remembering that. Gary Williams had the worst tee shot in the history and you and I wanted to laugh out loud, but we couldn't.
Oh, no, we feared the wrath of Gary.
But it was like, oh, my God.
So do you know how to say shitty shot in Swedish? Quitslug.
No, quick slug.
Quitslug.
I was golfing with a pretty well-known person.
You know, he just fell off, and like a lot of guys, they fade away. They don't make announcements like, hey, Nicholas Foss no longer has privileges on the European Tour. He was a Ryder Cupper.
Very nice.
I was golfing with a pretty well-known local D.C. celebrity, and he went to on the tee. And, you know, I always stand behind the white tees, even though I like to take the ladies' advantage. And he bent down to put his tee in the ground, and his entire pants was a whole crack was ripped. And it is so hard not to laugh. And every hole I had to see, and he had no idea.
Who was the guy?
Nope.
You won't say he was a celebrity.
I can't.
Probably Buck Hands.
It was somebody you would know, and I would never want to hurt his feelings. I never said anything. And I can't stop laughing.
You can't tell him.
Come on,
never.
Carol.
I didn't. Would you say something?
Fuck yeah. Guys would be like, nice pants.
First hole.
Yes.
No.
Oh, no. Guys on the golf course, it is not a support group.
That's true.
Let me put it that way.
Hashtag
not a support group.
That's true.
We support each other by busting each other's balls. The more ruthless you are means I like you.
The last time you and I golfed, now you did give me quite the advantage, but I remember winning the bet.
Yeah, you did. I gave you too many shots.
Yeah, I think you
I mean,
did.
That's the Iowa athlete in you. I was so dumb. We're going to renegotiate that if we ever get to play again.
Okay, good.
You still a member at Westwood?
Columbia.
No, Columbia. Even better.
No. Nope.
Not a member at Columbia?
Can
you fake it?
I was a spouse, so you get kicked out. That's the
So you need. So you need to be part of the Club Pro Guy Second Hole Foundation.
That's right.
Have you seen that?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Do you, Club Pro Guy, you ever follow him on Twitter, Jay?
No.
Oh, my God. He's so funny. He's created this persona as this cocky club professional at some shitty golf course, presumably in the Midwest, although he never pinpoints where, right? And the whole character is like, the pro is super cocky, but he doesn't realize he's a complete loser. And that's the whole shtick. And he's funny as hell, knows golf very well, so he knows how to sort of push all the golf buttons about the industry and the game. So he created this whole subplot on Twitter about the second hole foundation of divorced wives who get kicked out of the club, raising money to let them still be members. The second hole foundation.
God. That's funny.
Yeah. So anyway. All right. What else you want to talk about before we're done here today? We had a wonderful lunch. Do you want to talk about the pants in baseball that are now ripping and the shitty jerseys that Fanatics and Nike has put together?
Tonight's the story. No.
Yesterday, Riley Green for the Tigers did a slide in the home, and the pants ripped from his ass all the way down to his knee. These things are trash. And MLB is like, nope. It's everything's fine. They're performance fabric. We worked with Fanatics and Nike. Best fabric ever. They're sweating through them. People are saying, look at these things. They're junk.
They're just super thin, right?
And yes.
He slid on.
Cheap.
Yeah. And it sweats.
Yes.
He's a big guy, and he did slide pretty hard, but it ripped up to shreds. So they're going to have to take a look at that. I mean, were they trying to save money? What's the story?
Of course.
Is it? The story got George Costanza in there with the light cotton.
The story for the next couple days, have you seen Jackson Holliday? the number one pick, is now coming up in Baltimore.
I saw
Have you seen Jackson Holliday?
No,
Holliday
is he sweet?
Son? You would love him. He's handsome young man.
Oh, no, he's dreamy.
Strapping lad.
Yeah, he looks like a super privileged white kid who's very athletic.
Well, he is.
He looks like Zach Wilson, but with kind of darker hair.
Yeah, But you would like him.
Well, if he's all about the right things and if he's well-grounded.
Well, he just got called up to play tonight, and that's going to be a big story for the next couple of days.
And are you super excited?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All right, here's my guy Houston Scotty's rant on good old – you know Houston Scotty.
Yes.
His whole rant on Manfred.
We both hate Mike Tomlin.
Right. Here we go. Here's Manfred's legacy. The idiotic ghost runner for extra innings. You just tell me if you agree or disagree.
Okay.
You're okay with that?
I'm fine.
A pitch clock that has absolutely damaged arms built for power that now need breaks between pitches.
Yeah, but I don't think that's it.
You're not buying that?
No, not buying that one either.
Okay. Carol, you can chime in on these as well.
I mean, I actually love the pitch clock.
Yes. So,
love. Yeah.
The last game I went to,
it's too fast now.
I kept looking at that going, let's go.
I love it.
Faster.
Faster.
I don't like guys stepping out of the box. That's what I hate.
Yeah. Well, you know, most McDonald's, if they have the space, go to two-lane drive-up. Because McDonald's said, hey, you know what? We could get these people through faster. Let's go.
We love that.
I have no idea how they sort that out. Do you guys? Mm-hmm. I always drive up. You know, same thing for Chick-fil-A. I'm like, how are you keeping track of who's got what
Chick-fil-A
order?
When there's two lines, yeah. When there's two lanes or even three, it makes no sense.
Three lines.
Chick-fil-A never fucks it up.
No, never. Rarely.
You hope they do,
because then it's like free meal, because you can go right back in and get your...
Have a nice day.
I love Chick-fil-A. It's my pleasure.
It's the happiest place on earth.
Okay,
Chick-fil-A.
Uniforms that self-destruct during games.
No.
Demonizing a franchise with head-in-sand ostrich behavior for everyone else league-wide.
Yes, and the A's. Kick the A's out of baseball.
Aww. Not moving to get rid of this awful owner of the Oakland A's is another black mark on Manfred's resume.
But you know what? If Angelos hadn't died, Baltimore was going to be them in a couple years.
I know. Fake cardboard cutouts during the pandemic. I forgot those.
Oh, my God.
The fall of regional sports coverage and widening gaps in salary ranges. And the Oakland A's heading to a minor league ballpark in Sacramento for 3 years. He sucks. He's the worst. But you know what? Baseball, you can't kill baseball. Baseball's like the zombie that cannot be killed. And kids are participating in baseball now at record numbers, which is heartening to me, Jay. They say participation in baseball has been on the steady increase for
years. In football, it's down. There are lots of pee-wee areas, not in Texas. Not everywhere.
Not in Florida.
But there are a lot
you're letting your white suburban Maryland helicopter mom come shining through. Go to Texas and talk to me about football participation.
That's one state. Most of us know
Florida.
That
you know what,
biters,
though?
Georgia.
I have a
California.
One of my X-Men. Best high school friends, his dad or his son is a huge lacrosse player in Dallas, Texas.
I never thought I'd see that.
Lacrosse is the worst. Let's not get into that.
Can we talk about...
Lacrosse and pickleball are the worst, and she's now a pickleball fan.
I do. I love pickleball. That's why you're like, let's play golf sometime. I'm like, oh, every time. I'm like,
we're talking about Kansas City.
Pickleball is so fun.
They wanted somebody else to buy the stadium for Kansas City.
Yeah.
And they were like, F you.
No. Yeah.
And I love that.
Where are you
story.
Going? And now the mayor of Dallas is like, come on back, Houston Texans. Dallas Texans, because that's what the Chiefs were before they moved.
That was the best story of the year. That Kansas City said, no, we're not buying you anything.
Right.
Buy it yourself.
Yeah, well, because they knew there wasn't really anywhere to go. They knew they had a super strong fan base. And Clark Hunt is from Dallas, and he's hated.
Is he really?
Kansas City? Yeah, they hate Clark Hunt. Because remember, his dad had the team in Dallas.
Lamar Hunt was the original, right?
Yes. And
they loved him, though.
I don't know if Kansas City loved him, but the Chiefs ended up dead last in the player survey about owners. So they hate Clark Hunt, and the media hates Clark Hunt. Apparently, he's a big dick.
It's the Steelers, also very low.
They hate the Silver Spoon.
Oh, my God.
Legacy. Who's running the Steelers now?
Which one? I can't remember which one it is now. I can't remember his first name.
Carol, poor Jay thinks that Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields will be good this year. Do you want to break it to him? That's probably not going to be the case.
That's why they play the games, Zabe.
Come on, break it to him. I don't want to see this kid's poor heart broken when they suck.
Anyway,
is this a life?
You'll be screaming for them to bench Russ week 6. Then they'll play Fields. You'll be screaming about that week 11. Mark the tape. But where's my boom?
As long as it's not Pickett, that's the last name. I hated him.
The only certainty is that you're both going to be screaming about something.
That's the beauty about sports. Yep. Gives us something to be passionate and neurotic about.
Like the day and I have the Mark Turgeon podcast.
Well, listen, I don't know what happened. I know Mark. I know his family. I don't know what happened, but I know something happened. I know something behind the scenes happened. You don't know what happened.
Naki should be here for that one.
Honestly.
Naki won't tell any tales.
He won't tell.
You'll get the scoop off the air.
Two years before he left that team, they were number three in the country in 2020 hit, and they didn't get to go to the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
Here's another reason
why I disliked him greatly.
Greatest guy. Such a great guy. He's such a good guy.
After every game.
You don't know what kind of guy he is.
Yeah, I do. I know him personally. Yeah. He's in my neighborhood.
Nobody knows anybody.
After every game, he would blame the players.
He seems like a nice guy.
I know his wife. His wife
Kirby Puckett seemed like a nice guy.
No.
Bill Cosby seemed like a nice guy.
Okay. You seem like a nice guy.
Yes. Okay, this podcast is over. That's it. It's all fun and games until you're accusing me.
You are a nice guy. Stop apologizing.
Thank
you're
you.
You're going to yell at me.
Thank you. It's come full circle right now.
Yes.
Okay.
No, but he would always blame the teachers, the players after every game and wouldn't. Dude, how are you an offensive coach who was a point guard who can't draw an offense? How do you do that? That's insane.
Not a good coach, but good guy. Allegedly.
Great coach. Number three in the country. And then
in what?
That's where they were going into the NCAA tournament with their best team when 2020.
And what happened?
And then pandemic. No tournament.
So do it again
next year. Liked him when he played.
I mean, it's not like I had a good team once. And they're going to have a good team once.
But I did like him at Kansas. I did like him. I remember him playing point guard at Kansas.
Was he in Danny Manning's team?
I think he was.
I bet you he's not done coaching. I don't know anything.
Oh, no. He's not going back.
Why not?
He's not going back. It's been too much time.
Huh?
Unless he goes very low.
Somebody will hire him. There's a lot of jobs open. There's a lot of coaches hopping here, hopping there. They're trying to get Scott Drew out of Baylor to go to Kentucky. Because Kentucky is now sitting around, in their hands, going, who are we going to get to coach? They've had guys turn them down.
Watch Arkansas be really good because you know how much NIL get? They get Walmart money.
Oh, yeah, no, the
Jerry
Tyson.
Jerry Jones money.
Apparently the heir to Tyson Foods is tight with Calipari. That's what lured him over there. John Tyson. All that chicken money.
Even though he's probably 3 or 4 years too old to be coaching.
Yeah, and he's just not that good. Can I play for you real quick, and then we're done. Thank you for your time today. Lunch was delicious. The Deion Sanders ripping his own players over the emails he was getting from
this semester
teachers.
Has been extremely challenging for me as a professor. I have never felt so disrespected in my 10 years of teaching. Students do not follow even minimally, and it slows down my class so much. They make it clear that they don't want to be here, and they have very little personal responsibility, making me responsible for their grades. For the students that do want to learn, it has been a bad experience as well, since they have to work on breakout rooms, and the distracted students do not bring anything to the table. You just gotta eat. You got nothing to the table. But knives, forks, and spoons. I often have to repeat the same 3 and 4 times because student athletes are present but not really in class.
There you go.
You present.
So
you present, okay. But not in class.
I have a couple problems with this. Problem number one. Deion's overall vibe has been what at Colorado? Get the bag, get the money, not ashamed of it. So why would you think that kids that play for you would be, oh, great chemistry, 101, can't wait to dig in on this shit.
I can see through this.
He creates the culture. How about get better guys? If you've got guys who are disruptive in class and don't care about it, then get better guys. Don't pull up emails on the projector to your class. That's number one. Second part I have a problem with. He filmed it.
That's what I was about to say.
He filmed it to put it on his YouTube channel to monetize the content.
Yes.
What a dick. And he's the sportsman of the year? fuck out of here.
Yep.
He was really peacocky in that first 3 weeks.
Yes, he was.
Who was the guy from ESPN who he was like, do you believe now?
Yeah. Hey,
by the way,
first game. They beat Texas, and they're like, do you believe now? Not Texas. Who was it? Baylor, maybe.
I guess so many friends got mad at me because I said, he's not a great coach and the team ain't that good. Oh, shut up.
His kids aren't that good either.
No. Yeah. No, but if you say that,
I know. People get all triggered.
Yeah.
Are you guys big on social media?
Define big.
I don't know.
Do I consume it a lot? I've backed off quite a bit. I tweet far less now than ever before. Because I just feel like it's a waste of time, and they don't pay me for it. So why am I doing something they don't pay me for? Oh, exposure, followers. If I could see a steady increase in followers, the more tweets and content I put out, then I would do it. But I just don't believe it does. I believe I've gotten what I'm going to get, about 50,000, back from my national radio days, which are long gone.
The only times I see the ads from Zay, from the people who followed me from that, and they, follow me from that. And that's the only time I see anything.
Yeah. But I've gotten away. I mean, I do like certain TikTok verticals, which are dumb as hell. Like, I like cleaning TikToks, where, like, someone goes in and fixes a pool that's all slimy and gross. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
So I'm so fascinated.
The only thing I like is YouTube reacts. It's people who react from, like, I got her watching this one kid. And he loves Raging Against the Machine.
Music
and
reacts.
And he reacts on that.
For people that have never heard the band.
That is my favorite
And they're
thing.
Like blown
I
away.
Love it.
Do you know if they're real? Or do you not care?
Oh, yeah. I think
Do you
they're
sense
real.
They're genuine?
No, I think he's
okay.
got – yeah.
Yeah.
There's this black people listening to white music for the first time ever.
Like the when they heard Phil Collins?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was the most viral one.
And everybody, when they do the drums.
They're like, his whole face.
They all have the same.
Oh, my God.
It is so fast. I love that. I think they're, yes.
And, Jay, you who have lived in both worlds your whole life, whether it's hip-hop or whatever, and also white rock and roll growing up, you speak fluently both languages.
I love when that's why I love the reacts because I've lived in both worlds.
Yeah,
so well, I do love that. Love that. Good, that's my favorite thing.
There's a lot of good music out there. They're just not making any new good
that's
music.
True. That is true.
Yeah, all of the good music is long gone.
That is true.
Thankfully, it's preserved and remastered. So, all right.
Wonderful. Cowboy Carter is pretty awesome, though. Cowboy Carter.
No,
Beyonce.
That Beyonce song is straight trash.
I know you
want to
say goodbye. I love the album. I couldn't Cowboy believe Carter. It. That's
yeah,
the Beyonce's name of
Beyonce's country.
Oh
album. My God, my.
Yeah, people hate that.
Talk about reacts. My hate it. I loved it.
Okay.
Blackbird, did you hear that version? Did you hear American?
Listen, she's very talented. She could do country if she wanted to, but the big hit song, I listened to it, Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, I don't really love that one.
Bomani Jones, Bomani Jones.
Yeah.
He did a whole show and another guy about that. And he said they put too many songs on it. Is that true?
How many are there?
I haven't gotten through the whole.
Like 20 or something.
That's too many.
It's
well, yeah, no, an album should be 12 cuts.
A lot of them, not a lot, but
he
I
said
know
they made like a Wu-Tang album. That's how many songs on it.
How's Wu-Tang doing, by the way? Wu-Tang Clan.
Not around.
It will say
not around. They're
not
all
around.
Dead.
Not around.
In
no,
jail.
They're still alive. They just don't put anything together anymore.
I think one guy died. I think we had a story about that.
When you listen to the album, it seamlessly goes into
Old
the next
Bastard
thing. Did. And that's some of the clips are actually not songs. It's like Willie Nelson talking about the Smoke Hour radio show.
Okay.
Or like she really does a nod to some
Who
of the greats.
Who did she have on the album? Like what stars did she have on the album?
Featured, Miley Cyrus.
Would people go,
Oh, there was this Britney, there was a country music star on Blackbird that I was just like, I was blown away by their
were like,
duo.
Couldn't they have put Merle Haggard on there? I think he's dead.
They did Linda.
They were saying put
Martel,
like older.
The OGs?
They did Dolly Parton. They did Willie Nelson. They did.
Okay.
They put a bunch on there, yeah.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Great lunch.
You.
Jay, great to see you. Carol, God bless you. Well and Wonder Studio.
Thank
Check
you
it
for
out.
Giving us a little shout-out.
And nice to meet your better half.
Yep, there she is.
Yes, there she is, sitting quietly over there listening
she is
to
alive.
All the silly conversation.
Yes.
All right, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see everyone tomorrow. We'll fly like rain on a Sunday day, like a $1 million that you're giving away, like a stray dog on the freeway. As if that amount of podcast was not enough, I'm going to make
up to you, my load management day. I have a bonus, 20 minutes. For those who like golf and for those who like to wager a bit on golf, on a guy I know who is my number one degenerate golf betting fanatic. He's now up. Buckle in. He's got some long shots. Time to talk to my guy, Danny Greengrass. Golf gambling degenerate. All right, special once a year guest, Danny Greengrass. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Masters preview for your betting enjoyment. Financial advisor to the upcoming PGA Tour stars. You don't need to know their names. I know some of them, but it's not your business. It's his business. How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah, baby. So let's go here. Who do you like? You got the favorite, Scheffler, at nearly 4-1.
Yes. This could be the shortest podcast interview ever. Take Scottie Scheffler and walk away.
That is so not you. Well, okay, correct. So you correct. Take Scheffler, and then you cover it with a long shot, right?
Correct, yes, yes. And actually, the guys that I've been doing the research on are all, they will all pay quite nicely at the window.
Okay. By the way, Danny Greengrass did cash a ticket on Danny fucking Willett. How did you even see Danny Willett coming?
That's a sneaky one, actually, because he actually was back when he was only, he's basically only playing DP World Tour, the European Tour, which they call now the DP World Tour.
Right.
But he was like 12th in the world at the time. So he was sneaky good. Finished second in the race to Dubai. Some guy named Rory McIlroy beat him.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy. Is there a Danny Willett somewhere swimming in the weeds right now?
100%.
Because that was, by the way, he was 80-1, was he not? 80-1, I believe.
It was somewhere in the 60s range. Okay. I think I might have got him. I was not good at shopping the lines at the time, so I just got him. At maybe 50-1.
All right. The Calcutta at your place, which shall remain nameless, got very spicy. You said. Significant amounts of action. We'll leave the numbers out of it. But what did the Calcutta tell you what people were putting their money on at that event?
Very good question. They do a blind draw for the first to kind of set the numbers. So the first bid is an open bid, right? And so you can take whoever you want with that open bid. It kind of sets the market.
Okay.
And so that bid was for a significant amount of money. And obviously they took Scottie Scheffler.
Right.
Surprisingly, to your question, there was one guy that went. Normally no one goes over the blind bid. There was one guy that went over the blind bid, and it was the champion from, 2019? Or no, I'm sorry, 21, Hideki Matsuyama.
Interesting. Okay. So for those who don't know, Calcutta would be just a room full of guys, and we're all going to bet on, you know, who's going to win the Masters, but correct. We're going to bid on the players. But the first player has to be bid on in a blind fashion, and so therefore, it's a guess, really, as to how much do you want to pay, because the more you pay for a guy who's a favorite, even if you win, your return is not going to be very much. You're going to be carrying a lot of risk with not a lot of upside.
Yeah, Scotty, and the difference between a Calcutta and, like, obviously picking, if somebody's listening and they're picking
like
a guy
a
to
draft.
Win, you know, or you can pick five, pick right. top five or top 10. In this Calcutta that we have, they actually pay out a bunch of spots. So
oh, Scotty, they do. Okay.
Scotty needs to finish like fourth, I think, to break even.
Right. But if you're wondering, well, what if some douchebag at your club is just a billionaire? Why wouldn't he then bid 200 grand for the top pick? Well, he could afford it, but then even if he wins, he's not going to win very much, because most of the money in the pot is his money on the favorite. Okay.
Bingo.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So,
so there were like four or five guys that were, and guys that everybody's talking about, right? Scotty, Rory, John Rahm, Kepka and Matsuyama.
Okay.
Basically.
Let's rattle tat tat through the list, and you can go yes, no, maybe, or yes, no, hell yeah, or yes, no, sleeper.
Yeah, I think I may have a really good winner
all right.
for you.
Scheffler, 4-1, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's hotter than Georgia asphalt, right? I mean, he's so good. I mean, how do you not pick him?
McIlroy's 10-1. I would not take him with a 10-foot pole. No. And I used to like Rory. He wants it too much, I think, Danny. He wants it too much. Wanting things too much is never good in golf.
And his, like, his stats are crazy in terms of like what he has not done over the years. He hasn't won a major since 2014. He's got two missed cuts in like the last 5 years.
Yeah.
He missed the cut last year. Pass.
Rahm 12-1. I heard Faldo on a podcast say, and I had to rewind it a couple times. He's like, he's been playing fucking resort courses in shorts. I mean, how sharp is he? And I was like, wow, Faldo, you go. I disagree with that take. Yes, Rahm has not won on the LIV Tour yet. And yes, he's not exactly playing the hardest events. But hell yeah, I'd put something on Rahm to repeat.
I'm going to pass on Rahm.
You are?
I think probably because of the repeat thing. Like, there's so much stuff that you have to do that week, right? Hosting the Champions Dinner, big, long press conferences, all that stuff. I'm going
to
pass on
Rahm. And it's hard to repeat. Like, I'm trying to think, other than Tiger, who else has repeated in recent history?
Guys the year after don't exactly light it up, really. So,
okay. All right. Xander Schauffele, 16-1. He is a pants pooper, as somebody said on Twitter. Like, you can take Xander all day, every day. He lacks resolve to win the biggest events. I'm out.
Yeah. I think that's the guy that could beat us, I think. I'm not going to take him. But he could win.
Okay.
For sure he could win.
All right. Koepka. Hell yes. Even though he's a fucking Todd, I would take him at 18-1 for Koepka. Sign me up for a little snickerel.
Yeah, the thing that scared me a little bit was how bad he played last week. But whatever, it is what it is. Guy's got five majors and he's going off at roughly 20-1, nearly won last year.
Fuck yeah. He's a big game hunter.
Runner up in 19 and 23, 20-1.
Yeah.
Please.
He's a big game hunter. He's almost like the Joe Flacco of golf. Like, if it's a big game, look out. He'll be in there. Hideki Matsuyama, 18-1. Where is his game? I don't know, Danny.
Good. Very, very good. He's number one strokes gained around the green. Number one.
Okay.
One at Augusta. Four most recent starts this year. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Win. Top 12. Tied for 12th, tied for 6th, tied for 7th. Is that any good?
Pretty good. Okay, so you're in on Matsuyama. Jordan Spieth at 20-1. Okay. Yes. All right. Here we go.
Sorry.
This guy has been all over the fucking place, but you kind of can be all over the place at times at Augusta. 20-1 on Spieth. I would be tempted. In, out, maybe on Spieth.
I am out.
Out. Okay, Joaquin Niemann, 25-1.
Like him. Yeah.
Ludvig Åberg, not just first Masters, first major, but crazy. So young and so mindlessly, joyfully unaware of the stage, could be dangerous.
Yep, fantastic player. Out of Texas Tech, which has a very, very nice college golf program. Including a guy that I know very well that's playing over there at Texas Tech right now.
Could be, you know, it's funny, Ludvig Åberg, which is pronounced Åberg because the Oberg, A has a stupid little zero on top of it. I'm looking at it right now going, what the fuck is that thing? He speaks perfect English, almost with a bit of a twang from his college days. So it's kind of a trip that you're like, who's this silly Swede? And you're like, oh, he just sounds like an American, but mashes the ball. Oh, my God.
He dominated at Texas Tech. They have a great program down there at Texas Tech. Yeah. Great program.
Wyndham Clark, why is he 28-1?
Never played in the Masters.
Oh, that's right.
Wild, isn't that?
He's a dog, though.
Pretty good.
Victor Hovland. Yeah, go ahead.
The thing about Wyndham, I mean, would he have still won at AT&T had they not washed out the last round? I don't know, but...
Right.
They gave him the trophy.
That's true. And the money spent as well.
And the money.
Victor Hovland at 30-1. I saw the Golf Channel piece on Tuesday night about him, and now he's back in the weeds because he's sort of like he's like the Swedish Potty Harrington, where he just constantly wants to tinker with his swing. And you're like,
Norwegian.
Sorry, thank you. Not Swedish. Sorry about that. One of those countries, Danny, that eats the silly fish. You know.
Correct.
You know, I saw the story, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you were so dialed in at the end of last year and at the Ryder Cup. What are you doing? And he's just such he's such a lovable goofball. He's kind of lost right now. I would not touch him.
It's too bad. I've got a chance to play with him.
Humblebrag. Nice. Where?
Humblebrag. Down at Oak Tree National, where a lot of the pros play.
Oh, that's right.
Down in Tulsa area. And
is he a great guy?
Maybe even better than you think.
Oh, fuck. I love him, but what are you doing? Stop tinkering with swing. Speaking of not great guys, Patrick Cantlay, 33-1. Fuck him to the moon, but goddamn, he putts so well.
Here's one thing that I will say, and this means nothing to anybody else probably that's listening, but I do like to root for guys that are likable and good guys so that if I win, I'm happy, and it's a little dirty, isn't it, when you win with a guy that you don't like.
It still pays. Right. I would have to hold my nose. If I were to put something on him, I'd have to hold my nose. I love Will Zalatoris, who before he got hurt contended in this event. He's 33-1. He's got a new broomstick putter because his putting stroke was a goddamn horror show, and he's trying to get that under control, but has had several nice finishes this year. Is Willie Z worth a shekel?
I think so. I mean, there's like two guys that flush it, that everyone talks about better than anybody else, him and Sungjae Im.
Right.
And Hovland's probably in that mix too. I mean, they all do, but everybody talks about Zalatoris and they all talk about Sungjae Im.
Okay.
So, I mean, if he could figure, yes. I mean, his putting stroke makes you want to vomit.
But, it's like, oh my God.
Last I checked, that's pretty important.
Yeah. And he's a pro and he's young too. He shouldn't even have scars of yips or shakes because he's too young for that, but he does. I like Willie Z. Cam Smith, Joe Dirt cut off his ducktail, said he was just tired with it. 33-1. Hadn't done much since he went to live. I'm out.
Yeah, there's too many question marks about why he withdrew last week out of the live event. Hasn't played great. His team hasn't played great. The Rippers, Ripper GC.
Ripper GC.
All the other.
My second favorite team behind the Crushers.
The Crushers.
With a nod to the cliques.
Yes, I have a soft spot in my heart for the Australians, as you well know, and
they're great,
my friends. I think I had Cam the year that he lost to Scotty.
Right.
Heads up in 20. What was that? 22.
I believe so. Justin Thomas, 35-1.
Pass.
No.
Pass.
Bryson DeChambeau, this is a par 68 for me, 40-1. No.
Yeah.
DJ, 40-1.
I like DJ there. I like
maybe.
DJ.
Finau, 45-1. He finally started waking up. He's been lost for a bit.
Yeah, he's been playing very good. And that's one that's probably worth it. I don't have any more money left to put on Finau because I've put a bunch on him.
You're one of the guys. This is it for him. This is it for him. There was a period of a year and a half where it's like, he's going to win this major. I swear to God.
Yeah, him and Ricky Fowler are my white whale.
Matt Fitzpatrick, 45-1. It was revealed that they put an extra weight in his driver for testing just to sort of noodle around to start the year. And he forgot it was in there and started driving it all over the place. Couldn't figure it out until he remembered, oh shit, there was that weight in there. What the hell?
Yeah, I had him at the Players, and he backdoored, a top five by birding the last four.
Nice.
I'm out on him.
Tommy Fleetwood, 50-1.
Pass.
Then there's your boy, Shane Lowry, 50-1.
Yeah. That's, if we bury the lead, that's my guy.
That's my guy. Okay, ding, ding, ding. Danny Greengrass says his long shot is Shane Lowry, 50-1. I need some justification for it. A little bit of show your work.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's tick all the boxes. He's won a major.
Dang.
Okay. He also, and I forgot about this. I mean, another humble brag. I had Dustin Johnson at Oakmont when he won the U.S. Open.
Right.
He beat Shane Lowry. Shane Lowry had a big lead there.
I forgot. 2016.
How about that?
Yeah.
He was third 2 years ago. He was leading the Cognizant Honda, as we well know it, also known as, and the Arnold Palmer this year after 54 holes. Played well at the Players.
So why is he 50?
I don't know, because people don't like it's as you and I know. It's Tiger should be 1,000-1.
I know,
but he's. But because he's people bet on him,
right.
Yeah, they bet on they. It's they're protecting their number,
right.
And so people kind of lay off a little bit on Lowry. He's top 10 in strokes gained total, strokes gained approach the green. He's pretty good with the driver. So it's the Florida swing is 4th, 3rd, and 19th. He's 15th on par fours of 450 to 500, which there are a boatload of those at Augusta. Like why? Like, and he's 50-1.
Yeah,
like, yeah. You can pick Scheffler.
Yeah, sure.
4-1, but why? Why not? Why not? Why not take a stab at the big fella?
Yeah. Cam Young, 50-1. I wouldn't touch him. Not that he's not good, but he burns with too much intensity. I think part of winning at Augusta, you got to play with joy and adventure. He's too serious. Ideal for him.
I disagree with that one.
You do.
So
you like Cam
Young. He's on my. He's on my. Fearless five pick with Shane Lowry. So he's, although to be fair, right, he's never won on the European Tour or the PGA Tour. Not ideal.
right.
He was, he was second at the Open in 23. He was third at the PGA in 2022.
I know.
He was seventh last year at the Masters.
Knocking on the door.
And he played very well at Dubai and Valspar. He's got three top fours this year.
Okay.
So, here's the deal, like, to your point, right, these are all guys you can also bet top five and top ten because you're getting some good money on that, too.
Okay, Colin Morikawa, 50-1.
Pass.
Sam Burns, 55.
Pass.
Homa, 55-1. It's not having a good year.
Pass.
Sahith Figala, 55.
Not bad. I'm okay with Sahith. He's a great player. I mean, great player. That Pepperdine team was... We talked about your other guy there, but the Pepperdine team was very good. He's very, very good. He could make a little bit of a run.
Jason Day, 60-1. Runner up here one time.
2013. Exact.
Tyrrell Hatton, 65-1. He ticks all the boxes for the average age, average experience, et cetera, et cetera. But talk about a guy running hot. Woofa.
Pass. Yeah, pass.
Brian Harmon. Who's paired with Brooks Koepka, who's no fan of slow play, and Harmon is king waggle out there on tour. Your British Open winner from last summer, 65-1. Why not?
I like him.
Okay.
I like him.
One of your fearless five?
He was going to be my overall pick, and I would hold my nose winning with him because I'm not the biggest fan of that fella. But it is what it is. I'm sure he's a nice guy. Parents love him.
Yeah.
Eighth. So he's like, here's something. I mean, think about this. This guy is eighth in the world. Eighth in the world. He was second at the Players. He's 23rd in strokes gained total. He's 28th in stroke gained putting, right?
Which
is very important. He's got no shortage of confidence, as we like to say.
Oh, very confident.
And he dominated the Open last year. He dominated, and
even though he's not long by tour standards, he's a lefty, and lefties tend to have an advantage at Augusta because of the shape of the holes.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick Reed, I don't need the money. 65-1. Oh. Fuck him. Russell Henley, 70-1.
Here's another one for you. You've uncovered three so far.
No, I got four. On the five.
Sorry. Yeah, so he's the fourth. Russell Henley. Love Russell Henley. Playing as good as he's ever played. He tied for fourth last year. He's got five top tens in his last 20 events. Three top fives. Six straight made cuts. He was a T11 in 17. He was T15 in 2018, and he's T4 last year. The guy plays good here.
All right.
Why would you not take him?
I've got Scheffler, Harmon, Henley, Lowry as part of your Fearless Five. That's four.
Scheffler, you can probably.
So Scheffler's not part of the Fearless Five. Fearless Five is your long shots.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So basically Lowry, Harmon, Henley, and
Cam Young.
Cam Young, you're also on. Okay. So we got four of the five Fearless Five then, long shots.
Yeah. And then you're either on, which is not a huge long shot, either Koepka or Hideki.
Okay. Koepka or Hideki. Those are medium. Those are cruiserweight long shots. Yeah. Okay. Just a couple names. Corey Connors, the Canadian, 80-1, supposedly awesome putter and awesome iron player.
Yep. Don't mind him at all. Okay. The Canadian squad is solid this year. If you can find nationality, you can, but like sometimes in the more exotic places, you can find nationality. Not bad to have the Canadians because you get Corey Connors and you get Adam Hadwin.
Wow.
Who's also very, very good.
Okay. Denny McCarthy, 120-1. He's short guy, not super long, but puts it almost like an alien. Yeah. I don't know. Is it worth a shekel on him at a super long shot? I'm now into the hundreds plus.
No.
Okay, no. All right, anyone over 100 worth it?
Keegan Bradley. He hasn't played well at Augusta, really.
Like, he's 200-1.
Yeah. I like, if any of you folks out there watched Full Swing Season 2,
yeah,
we can give some spoilers. It's been out for a few months, unlike JB, who gave him the day of.
Our friend, yes, on the text thread. He binged it right away and then just started splurting stuff out to us on the thread going, yeah, what? Yeah. Sorry, you haven't watched it? No.
But yes, we still love you, JB.
Yeah.
But anyways, that the episode with him not getting the call for the Ryder Cup is tough to watch.
Yeah.
I was indifferent on Keegan. I'll tell you what. I'm all on board with Keegan Bradley. And I would like that would be a guy that I would love to see win. He seems like a really, really good dude.
Yeah, I think he's a good dude, plays with heart, but man, that back off routine he has and everything, it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. But that would be a decent long shot. You know, it's interesting you talk long shots. This year has been the year of the long shot, right?
And I don't why aren't we shopping in the 200+1? Why are we not taking a look at Adrian Meronk or Sepp Straka at 200-1? Is it because the Masters plays different than an average tour stop?
Yes. Okay. Reversion of the mean is the term that I would use, right? We need to get back to a favorite.
Sure.
And then historically speaking, if you look at, if you look at statistics, right? Last five winners were ranked seventh or better. There's another stat about players that have won both at Riviera and Augusta. There's actually been 14 players that have won both at Riviera and Augusta, which is pretty interesting.
Right.
And then every winner over the last 10 years has been in the top 25 official world golf ranking.
Okay. So that's the case. There's very rarely a 200-1 winner at the Masters. There may be a 70 or an 80, but not 200. Just doesn't happen.
And here's a couple more for you. Four of the last five winners have had short odds of 16-1 or shorter.
Right.
Four of the last five are 16 or better. So we are swimming in a little bit. But now, you know, with an overwhelming favorite like Scotty, that pushes everybody else up higher.
That's true.
So we haven't seen those numbers since Tiger. I mean,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Anyway, one last thing. I don't know if you buy this or not. So I'm listening to Golf Channel last night. And one point that Chamblee made, and I think the others echoed, it might have been McGinley agreed as well. The course is running out of secrets that it can keep because of YouTube and other media. The Masters, mm-hmm. bless their hearts, they put the whole broadcast, slap it right up to YouTube. You can watch the whole damn thing. And so there is a wealth of scouting tape on the course that did not exist 20, 30, 40 years ago. And so therefore, they theorize that it's easier for somebody without as much experience to tickle the sweet Georgia girl in a way that makes her purr, because so much is known about the course, every inch of it, every bad spot, every good spot. Do you buy that for $5 or no?
No. It's kind of like the poker analogy, which actually has a lot of merit, right? Like Doyle Brunson didn't have the internet, and so he had to play live games, whereas these guys that are coming up now that are poker pros play, you know, eight hands at once, and they play thousands right. and thousands of hands. But, right. And so they get up to speed so much faster. But they're still, I mean, you look at these guys are still talking about things that they've learned by playing with Tiger or by playing with past champions, you know, that have been there for 50 years, you know, the Ben Crenshaws of the world, right?
Right.
That you got to miss it here and you got to lay up to on 13 to the left and because it's flatter over there. And so I don't buy that.
All right.
I don't
yeah. Well, because, you know, knowing what you have to do is only a small part of it. You still have to do it under pressure with exacting precision. So correct. You have to hit those shots when needed, when your insides feel like jelly. And you got to make a three-footer for bogey that's a downhill slider that you got to send at a pace that you know it'll go by 10 feet if you miss, but you got to do it anyway to stay in the tournament. That's what makes champions on Sunday.
And 99 out of 100 of these guys, if you give them a choice of the four majors, they all want to, like almost all of them, choose the Masters, right? Some of those guys might, like Shane Lowry might have chosen the Open Championship because he's, you know, a European guy and thinks that's the best for him. And so yeah. he might want to win the Open more than the Masters. Another reason why I like him. I mean, I'm in on Shane Lowry.
All right. Does Tiger make the cut? Exit question, yes or no?
No. No.
Okay. Well, all right. Out on Tiger. Does Phil make the cut, whose game has sucked this year? He's 150-1 as a guy who contended last year and almost won.
That is wild when you think about that. Wild. Yeah. I would say he does not make the cut.
Okay. Very good. All right, Danny, another year, and you got your long shot selections. People cannot say they were not warned. This is going to be straight for our subscribers because they're getting this podcast today on a Wednesday so they can get their sweet action down at mybookie.com or wherever they get their sweet action. And for those that don't wake up at 4 a.m. when the regular non-subscriber edition drops to get their action in, too bad for them. They'll have to tune in early next year.
All right. Sounds good. Let's make some money, baby.
Let's go make some money. See you, buddy.
All right. Thanks. See you.
That'll do it for me today. Thanks to everybody who popped on the pod. Enjoy the Masters, a tournament unlike, a tradition unlike any other, as Jim Nantz would say. And we will see you on Friday for our subscribers who get Scott and Sally on the Friday edition. Have a great day, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.